Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
Still in recovery from Turning Point. Who enjoyed Turning Point Conference? Amen. And was blessed. And then obviously we had the services on Sunday that sort of carried on from that. That was sort of Turning Point Part 2 last Sunday. But there's a little bit of everyone was probably a bit tired the week after. A lot of, especially if you were there for all the nights and we're dancing around and so forth, and part of the fun of Pentecost. But back into the normal scheduling of things, but that doesn't mean that we go away from what God has for us, amen, that we forget what God has done for us and spoken to us about, and make sure that we carry those blessings on through into our day-to-day, into our work life, our school life, whatever it is that we're doing, making sure that what we've learned, what we've picked up, what God has revealed to us, what God has done in us, that is affected into everything that we do, that is then moves into all parts of our life, that we don't just come to church. Somebody once told me, church is a place you go from, not a place you come to. It's somewhere we go from, not somewhere we go to, because we go from church empowered and ready to take this gospel to the world, to take this message to the world, to take our life, to take God's light and glory into this world. Like, that's what we're bearing inside us with His Spirit. Amen. And we need to take this with us into our day-to-day. Hallelujah. Well, if we could turn to the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 12, if you could be upstanding again, just for the reading of God's word. Romans 13, verse 12. And when you're there, say amen. It says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Let us put on the armor of light." Let us walk honestly. Say honestly. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Hallelujah. Well, we're about to pray. As we pray for the word, we just have a few prayer requests. We're going to pray for, it seems as though flu has swept through the church, swept through the camp. And so there's many away today with a bit of sickness. And I know for myself, even got a bit of a cold myself, but our pastor's been struck down, and we've got to pray for Sister Mars, Sister Kathy, and there's others, Cindy and Paul, there's many others that are sick and away this morning. So we'll pray for them. And also we're just going to pray for William Miller. We've had a request for a man by the name of William Miller to pray for him, who's been tormented with depression and is going through addiction issues at the moment. Well, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help me to deliver your word, to speak your word, Lord Jesus, to be a vessel, Lord. Lord, anoint me, I pray. And Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, for those that are unable to be here due to illness, Lord. with this flu, this virus that has swept through, Lord, we just pray, touch each and every person, Lord Jesus. Help them to be made well, to recover quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, that there be no post-viral infections or anything like that, but Lord, that they would recover and be made well quickly and speedily. In Jesus' name, we pray for our pastor, heal him, Sister Mars, Sister Kathy, and many others, any others that have been struck down. We pray for their healing right now. And Lord, we pray for William Miller, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, help him, Lord Jesus, at this time. Be light in his darkness, Lord Jesus. Go to him right now, Lord. Help him to understand that you are the answer to his issues, Lord Jesus, as he struggles with addiction, depression, Lord Jesus, whatever it is that he faces. Lord, help him to run to you, Lord Jesus, not Lord Jesus, to look at alternatives, Lord, that may end up to destruction, Lord Jesus, but Lord, that he would look to you, Lord Jesus, that you are life and will give him life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Well, if I could get the slides up, you may be seated. Thank you for standing. Well, no slides. We don't. Oh, there we go. Anyone ever seen fireflies before? No, some have. We don't have them in Australia, so as far as I'm aware. And so it's something you usually have to go somewhere else for. Do we have them in Australia? No, I've never seen them in Australia, I'm pretty sure, unless someone snuck them in through customs or something. But fireflies, if you go, especially in the northern hemisphere, you'll see these flies sometimes in summertime, and they glow, they light up using what's called bioluminescence. Bio meaning life, luminescence meaning lighting up. So, and you will see, go to the next slide, more fireflies. This is an amazing sight to see something, a living creature that's able to emit light using enzymes in its body. If we go to the next one, and just see, there it is on its little tail there. It's able to emit light. Next one. Let's keep going. Yep. So fireflies. We also have other forms of bioluminescence that we see around. There's other types of life forms. If anyone's gone to a glowworm cave, so I know in New Zealand they've got the Waitomo caves, and I think even in New South Wales, if you go up near Mudgee there, there's some caves that you have to walk like for a day to get to or something, and then you finally see these glowworm caves. So these chains of worms that hang from the ceiling and emit their own light in the darkness. These completely dark caves, but these worms can give off light. Next slide. And there we see some more coming off the ceiling there. So amazing things, what God's creation we see through nature. And we also see bioluminescence on the seashore. If we go to the next slide, algae and plankton, or algal blooms of plankton that come up on some of the seashore. Jarvis Bay is one spot where you can see this, that the sand will glow at night as the waves crash in and move the sand around. This plankton starts to emit light. It's amazing, amazing to see. Sometimes you have to rub the sand with your hand and you'll see the light coming off it. Next one. There's another one. And next slide. Now, under the sea, where as soon as you start going a few thousand feet below sea level, it's completely dark. Or you start to enter what's called the twilight zone. Hello? You start to enter what's called the twilight zone, where the light starts to fade from the sunlight that's trying to come through the water and get to the deeps. Eventually, it can only go so far. Well, someone needs a receptionist, I think. It can only go down so far, and then eventually it starts to get completely dark. And so the sea life below these levels of sea, where it starts to become dark, many of them, in fact, 75% of all sea life produces bioluminescence. It produces its own light using enzymes in its body. And here we've got what's called the anglerfish. The anglerfish uses light to attract other fish into its big scary mouth there. And so it uses that light to lure. It makes the other fish think that it's another fish that's emitting light. And the fish goes, oh, there's some food. And then next thing you know, it's food. And if we go to the next slide, and there, anglerfish, the prettiest fish of all in the ocean is the anglerfish. And if we go to the next one, this is a squid that is bioluminescent, and it's not only got bioluminescence on its skin, but it also emits bioluminescence in its ink. So the ink that it sends out glows. Isn't that amazing? And it uses it as a defense mechanism. It shoots it out to try and protect itself from prey that would try to come and to confuse the prey. Wow, where's all this light? It's all in my eyes. I can't do anything. And so we have these squid that shoot out this bioluminescent liquid instead of ink. And then we have worms and tiny crustaceans, next slide, that also emit light, usually to attract mates and to also protect itself. And bioluminescent organisms live throughout the different levels of the sea, from near the coast to the open ocean, the very depths of the ocean. And obviously, as we said, this light energy is produced through a chemical reaction in the organism's body. And for that reaction to occur, they must contain what's called luciferin, which is a molecule, when it reacts with oxygen, produces light. And that word luciferin comes from the same word we get Lucifer from, the same Latin word. And the name that Satan had before he was cast out of heaven was Lucifer, because he was covered in all these jewels and all these things to reflect the light of God. He was there, he had musical instruments in his body that were there to produce music, to produce praise unto God. He had all these sort of shining stones on him that were there to reflect the light of God. So he was there to show and display God's glory, to give glory to God through music and through reflecting the beauty of the light of God. Just like the moon doesn't have its own light, it reflects the light from the sun. Without the sun, the moon is nothing. It's just a dirty big rock with no light. And sometimes we see that when there's a new moon, there's no light coming off it. So Lucifer was just there to show the glory of God in his body with the praises that he gave and by emitting the light. But he decided he didn't want to just worship God, but he wanted to be worshipped with God. And he no longer wanted to be the reflector of light. He wanted to be the one that received the glory. He wanted to take the credit for the light, but he was cast out of heaven. And that was why his name was Lucifer, because he was one that radiated or he reflected that light of God. Not his own light, just reflecting the light of God. And that same word is in the Latin we use for these creatures, or the material, the molecule that's in these creatures that produces light when it reacts with oxygen. We see some of these animals use a strong flash of bioluminescence to scare off impending predators. The bright signal can startle and distract the predator, cause confusion. And also we have the green bomber worm and four other similar worm species. If we go to the next one, I think it is. They release this bioluminescent bomb from their body when they're in harm's way. And we only discovered these creatures in 2009. And we also have, if we go to the next slide, that's a squid that has bioluminescence to attract prey and to ward off predators. And the next slide, That's the worm that releases the bioluminescent bomb. And then the next slide, and there's some more. All these amazing creatures, 75% under the sea. Now, because most of the earth is ocean, two-thirds of the earth is ocean, and if 75% of all the living creatures on earth produce light, that means that light is the most common form of communication on earth. Light is the most common form of communication on earth. Come here, go away. Come here, I want to eat you. Come here, I want to get to know you. Go away, I don't want to know you. That's what they're saying with this light. We're going to the next slide. There's a pretty cool animal. Next one. I've got a few of these slides. This squid, see those little things at the end of its tentacles? They come off. It like shoots it like bioluminescent little things that shoot off from its tentacles to try and any prey that comes to attack it, the prey will go follow the tentacles that went shooting away instead of eating little squiddy in the darkness there. And so this bioluminescence can, you know, help with camouflage, help with counter-illumination. It helps with not only attracting prey, but to protect and defend these creatures. They put on this armor of light. They use light to protect themselves. And it's amazing that this light is used to protect themselves. They can put on this armor of light. The first time we see light mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 1. And if we start in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." So darkness was upon the face of the deep, or the waters. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good." He saw the light and he saw it and he said, that's good. The light is good. "And God divided the light from the darkness. He saw the light and it was good." Light always wins in a battle over darkness. Martin Luther King said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness." You can't use darkness to push out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Only light. It's not like you walk into a room and it's too light and you turn on the dark. Let me just turn on the dark here. It's not like you go on a sunny day and you use a torch to try and create darkness. Light will always win in a battle over darkness. Amen? Light will always win in a battle over darkness. God saw the light and said, it's good. That the light was good. Amen? And we see when the Israelites were on their way out of Egypt, that they had to make their way through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. They were guided in Exodus 13, verse 21. It says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by a pillar in a fire, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by night, day and night." They were led by this pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire to give them light, a pillar of light to go by day and night. So they had the cloud to follow in the day and a pillar of fiery light by night. And in Exodus 14:24 it says, "And when it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked upon the host, unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." God used light, a pillar of fiery light by night, not only to provide light in darkness to show the Israelite nation where to go, but also to protect them from the enemy. It was there to block the way between them and the Egyptians. This light separated them between the darkness that the Egyptians represented, amen, and the light that God was providing for them because they were in His presence, amen. God created the light and He separated the light from the darkness. Light is used to separate from darkness. Light separates us from darkness. Just like these creatures were protecting themselves by using light, God protects His people with His fire to give us light and to combat against the darkness. Amen. Why don't you give praise to the Lord and give Him a hand of praise right now and thank Him for His light. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David undertook to go to the Valley of Elah. He went to take some lunch to his brothers that were fighting in the army. He went to take a wheel of cheese. Can you put that on your car? Or he went to take a wheel of cheese and some bread to his brothers. And when he turned up, he saw this uncircumcised Philistine threatening the Israelite army, and everybody's just sitting around. King Saul's even sitting around. The leader of the pack, he's not doing anything. He's too afraid. Everyone's scared of this guy. And David can't stand it any longer. He wants to go and fight because he fought a bear. He fought a lion. We heard about this at Turning Point. He fought a bear. He fought a lion with God's help. He was able to defeat them because he had victory in the secret place with God. Now that he was in a time of a public battle, he had the faith to be able to know that God was on his side to give him the victory. Amen. We need to make sure that we're in the secret place with God. Make sure that we have our own personal time with prayer, in prayer with God. Amen. To help us, to give us victory over the battles that we face every day. If God gives us, if we're faithful in the little things, God will make us faithful in the big things. Amen. And because David was faithful in these small things, pretty small, you know, just fighting off a bear while you're out there doing shepherd's work. I mean, shepherd's work, that's not the job, you know. Perhaps back, this is 1,000 years before Christ. And 1,000 years before Christ, if, you know, your daughter brings home a young man that she's interested in marrying and says, oh, what do you do for a living? I'm a shepherd. Hun, you could have done better, really. Sure, this guy's going to be able to provide for you. He's going to be out with the sheep for weeks on end, sleeping out in the paddocks. It was like the lowest of the low jobs. It was the most humble of jobs. And yet it was out there as a shepherd boy, as a humble shepherd boy, that David learned how to be king, that David learned how to have a relationship with God, that he saw the power of God work through him and work in his life. That's where he wrote Psalms and so forth unto God. He had that secret time with God. Have that secret time with God, amen? Make sure you have that secret time with God. And you don't have to bang on about it. You know how long I prayed this morning? Who cares? Remember the Pharisee said, I pray this many times. I fast this many times per week. I give this much. Jesus said he prayed to himself. He had his reward. God's not even listening to him because he's too busy bragging to himself about how good he's doing. Your secret time in prayer is your secret time in prayer. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Amen? We don't need to know about it. If you're praying, good. Keep praying. Pray in secret, daily. Spend time with God. Amen? And devote some time for God. We devote time for other things, We devote time for all sorts of things, but do we devote time for God? Do we devote time for the most important person in our life, the most important lover of our soul? And you see, when David went to go to battle, Saul offered him his armor. Now, Saul was trying to be nice, but Saul should have been the one out there fighting Goliath, not this teenage boy. And when David tried to put on the armor, it didn't fit. He couldn't wear it. It was too big. He hadn't tried it on before. And so he just took it off. And then, as we know, he went down to fight Goliath with a slingshot and some five stones and hit him and killed him and then chopped off Goliath's head with his own sword, so on and so on. But we can't wear a different armor. We need to make sure we have the armor of God on. Amen? We can't try and put the armor on that the world is trying to get us to wear. The world might be doing it with the right intentions, but even with the right intentions doesn't make them right. We need to be obedient to God's will. Amen? Ignore the suggestions of the world. Even when it is well-intentioned, we need to make sure that we're fighting in this battle according to His will. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 17, well-known piece of scripture, we seem to be talking about it a lot lately. It says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen. Every day we need to put on the armor of God. We need to put on this armor. We need to put on, when you pray that you put on the helmet of salvation and that God would renew your mind. Then each and every day you would put on the mind of Christ, that your thoughts would be acceptable unto Him, that your thoughts would be in line with His thoughts. Amen. That He would guide your mind, that He would give you a sound mind. Amen. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. God will give you a sound mind. He will give you wisdom if you ask for it. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. To protect your heart, because your heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, and who can know it? So ask God to create in you every day a clean heart. Amen. To take your heart, to search your heart, see what your motives are, see what your intentions are, see what's lurking in your heart, and make sure, expose any darkness, and make sure He creates in you a clean heart. Then take up the shield of faith. Amen. If we could get the picture of the Roman soldier, their shields wasn't like this little tiny shield. They had these massive shields. They would connect together with their other soldiers, form a phalanx, and they would be able to protect themselves from every fiery dart. That's the arrows, you know, that have the fire at the end that get shot, like the Germans or the Germanics are trying to fight the Romans with these fiery darts. And so they hold up their shield of faith, the shield to protect themselves. We need the shield of faith. Amen. Above all, that means above all, we need to trust in the Lord. Amen. Because it doesn't just say the wicked one. It says the wicked. That's not just the devil. That's anybody that's wicked that are trying to throw darts our way, trying to throw fiery arrows our way. We need to protect ourselves with the shield of faith. Amen. Put our trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not in our own understanding. And then we need to gird our loins with truth. The truth. What will the truth make you? Free. Won't set you free. The Bible says, make you free. It's a little bit, maybe we're being, you know, cutting, splitting hairs or whatever. But it makes you free. It doesn't just set you free. It doesn't just open the prison door. It pulls you out of the prison and chucks you into freedom. It makes you free. It takes you from a place of captivity to a place of freedom. The truth will make you free. Amen? And we need to gird our loins with truth. Protect our spirit with truth. You know, this is the belly is where the seat of the spirit is, they say. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And we need to make sure that our spirit is protected with truth. And then we need to cover our feet with the gospel of the preparation of peace. Amen? Preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to, wherever we go, that our feet are protected, that we are protected with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that wherever we go, we live and breathe and speak this good news. Amen? The good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Death, burial, resurrection. That is the gospel, amen? That is the good news, that he died for your sins, that he was buried and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and then he rose again and overcame death and the grave. That is the good news, amen? Are you thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why don't you thank the Lord right now? If you've applied the gospel to your life, and then we have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, amen. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing to the very asunder of soul and spirit. We need to make sure we have the Word of God in our heart, that we're speaking the Word of God, that we know the Word of God, that we read the Word of God daily, that we understand what it means too. I know people that have read the Bible back to front, they couldn't tell you anything about it. It's one thing to read the Bible, it's another thing to understand what it says. Study the Word, meditate on the Word, understand the Word. Come to church and hear about the Word. Go to Bible studies, connect groups, whatever it is. Share with others, discuss the Word with others. Meditate on the Word, look into the Word, inquire and understand, and that Word will become alive in you. Amen? We need to put on the armor of God as we fight this good fight of faith. Amen. In the New Testament, we do not read of coats of mail and helmets of brass, but the apostle wrote to the Roman believers, you know, this is a spiritual armor that we're putting on. Amen. It's a spiritual armor. And as we just read at the beginning, Romans 13:12, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. You might have covered yourself in works of darkness, might have allowed the things of this world to cover you over, and the things that you do, the way that you behave, the way that you speak, the places that you go, the things that you see, the things that you listen to, whatever it may be, you may have put on these works of darkness, almost like clothing, but you need to cast it off. Take off those works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Amen. Put on the armor of light. Turn to your neighbor and say, put on the armor of light. Like I said, the armor of light is not material, it's spiritual. And we need it to walk in the light. Amen. 1 John 1:5-7, it says, this then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. God is light, and in him no darkness at all. And we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie. Don't be a liar. If you're walking in darkness, you don't have fellowship with him, and you do not the truth. We need to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because the light is good. He separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light good. Put on the armor of light. Walk in the light of Jesus Christ. And verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, amen, daily we will be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Lord Himself is clothed in light. In Psalms 104, verse 1 to 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment." He covereth Himself with light as a garment. "Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain." Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. Let us all stand, if the musicians could come. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness." He is the light of the world. We need to follow Him. And if we do, we will not be in darkness. We cannot walk in darkness and the works of darkness. Just as it said in Romans before, the verse that we alluding to, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting," not in the way that we live. We need to make sure we're not living like the world lives. And drunkenness. You know, when I was in the world, I used to look forward to getting drunk on Thursday night. That was when my weekend would start. So I could ride out Friday at work. And then Friday I'd be going out to a rave somewhere in a warehouse in Waterloo or somewhere. But I thought getting out of my mind, escaping, was my way of trying to find comfort, peace and happiness. That I thought by putting something in my body, alcohol, when you're getting drunk on alcohol, you're essentially subjecting your body to mild liver poisoning. And because of the liver poisoning, it has an effect on your mind that then, causes you to be drunk. So, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering, sleeping around, and wantonness, lustfulness, not in strife, arguing, fighting. You ever met one of those people? Every time you seem to talk to them, it seems to be an argument. Well, they're just always looking for a fight. You ever seen those dudes? They drive in cars and they seem to stare at every single person on the street. How do they do that? They must have like spider eyes, like, they look at that many people in a day. Look at the road, bro. Always looking for a fight. Always envying. I'm ripped off. Always the victim. Always, I didn't get it. Envying. You got it better than me. It's not fair. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of light and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Once we put on Jesus, there's no more room for that garbage. There's no more room for that darkness. Why? Because light overcomes darkness. Light will always win over darkness. Hallelujah. We need to put on the armor of light. Turn to your other neighbor and say, put on the armor of light. Have you put on your armor of light? This world is getting darker. We need to shine the light of God. We need to be a beacon. We need to put on this armor of light so that we can shine forth His light in this dark, dark world. If you haven't put on the armor of light, initially, you need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But maybe you've done that, but your armor has fallen away. Somehow the works of darkness have come on instead of, those parts of the armor of light, you've kind of taken them off. They were uncomfortable. They were too hard. You laid them aside, and instead the works of darkness have taken the place of this armor. And now you're walking in darkness. You think you're walking in light, but you're walking in darkness. Maybe you need to spend some time with the Lord. Just ask Him to search your heart. Ask Him to remove that cloak of darkness and put on the armor of light once again. But if you've not been born again, you need to put on that armor of light. In Galatians 3, 24, 29, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, no longer under the law. For ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." If you've been baptized into Christ, baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, you put on Christ. I know I've said this a thousand times, but like my old boss, Greg Curry, used to say, when you're sick of hearing it, you're starting to get it. Just like Adam and Eve, they realized they were naked after they fell in the garden, after they disobeyed God. They were naked. They were open to the nakedness. They went and put on fig leaves, but God said, "No, I need to provide the sacrifice. You can't do this yourself." And He killed a beast, and then He covered them with the skin of that beast, and the blood was used to pay for their sins, to atone for their sins. And so bloodshed had come into the garden. There was no death before that, but because of sin, death came in. And so instead of seeing their nakedness and shame, God now saw the sacrifice. And in Galatians, when Paul says we put on Christ, when we're baptized into Christ, it's just like that. We're putting on the sacrifice that Jesus made, so that God no longer sees our sinfulness, our darkness, our nakedness, but now He sees the sacrifice. We've put on the armor of light because we've put on Jesus. And Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? If you've not been baptized into Christ, that means in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the name above every other name. Amen? Jesus is the name of the Father. It is the name of the Son. And it is the name of the Holy Ghost. That's why everyone in the book of Acts was baptized in the name of Jesus. Because it is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you haven't been baptized, you have an opportunity to repent of your sins. Accept Jesus as your Savior, and we can baptize you. If you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, in Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, "The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." God can fill you with His Spirit, with His light. Amen. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we can pray for you this morning. All you have to do is lift up your hands, lift up your head, start to praise God. Lift up your voice. God's not going to fill an empty mouth. You need to raise your voice, amen? You need to start to praise Him. And if you've repented of your sins and you believe on Him, we can pray with you, we can lay hands just like they did in Acts chapter 19, and you'll begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God will give you the utterance. But you need to speak in the tongues. You need to step out by faith and receive it as you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Out of your belly will flow like a river of living water. Anyway, this altar is open. If you want to come and spend some time with the Lord, if you want to have that armor of light shining in this dark world, come and spend some time with the Lord. If you're going through some struggles at the moment, if there's some issues that you're facing and you need God's light in your life to help you, to lead you the way, to protect you, come and spend some time with the Lord. If you need His Spirit, come and we can pray for you. Amen. This altar is open.
Jesus is mine. is blessed.